y'all doing? Okay, so the format of this is a little bit different than what some of you may have heard. It's actually going to be an open discussion, all right? So Robbie came to me a couple weeks back with the whole topic of the Confederate flag, which is absolutely a hot-button topic right now, right? Like, especially after the situation that happened in South Carolina, you had a lot of people who were discussing, is it heritage or hatred, right? And in this school, we have people who have viewpoints on a variety of sides. So the goal of Robbie and myself is to facilitate a community where we can have an open discussion that's civil, all right? So at this point, like, we're going to open it up. I'm going to ask questions, and anybody in here can speak, okay? But the rules of the debate are that you have to allow whoever's speaking to finish their thought. And there's not going to be any winner or loser. I mean, I don't think that anybody here is going to leave thinking whatever else different. Whatever you think is your opinion, and you are entitled to that opinion. But we want to keep it respectful. We don't want to get ratchet up in here. All right, we got Gandhi on the wall, for God's sakes. So what would Gandhi think if we got ratchet, right? Even though that word probably didn't exist when he was alive. So the idea of the Confederate flag for a lot of people is controversial. What I want to know is your opinion. Do you feel that the Confederate flag should be allowed to be worn or flown publicly, specifically like at a school like East? So thoughts. Anybody can open it up. I'm gonna give it to Drake Yost first, though, because I know he's an opinionated young man. What are your opinions on the Confederate flag?
Absolutely. That's First Amendment right. I think that people are completely misinformed about how the flag was, like, what the flag, like, what it's, like, how the war started. It's kind of involved into, like, a racial thing when really it was not started as a racial thing at all. And I think that, like, it should absolutely be flown, like publicly.
Any other opinions as far as agreeing with him or disagreeing with him? Okay, Mr. Justice.
You do have a right to fly it. I do not think it should be flown on public property, like in front of a state house. You can also fly it at protests. But he mentioned misconceptions. There are no misconceptions about that flag. The flag that we see today is not actually the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag is similar to that of the United States. It has a blue upper right-hand corner with seven stars in a circle, two red stripes, and in the middle a white stripe. The flag we see today is an interpretation of a Confederate battle flag. And the interpretation went up in the 1960s, around the time the Civil Rights Movement started. And to the point where it's not racially motivated. Then how come it's a symbol for so many groups like the KKK and the National Socialist Movement, who, as you all probably know, have white supremacist and neo-Nazi ideologies? Also, I find it ironic that people claim to be patriots when they fly that flag. The Confederates stabbed the Union in the back. They shot first, they murdered 500,000 American soldiers, and they argued that it was because of states' rights. I ask, states' rights to do what? What were we considering getting rid of at the time? Not guns, we weren't trying to raise taxes, it was slavery. We were trying to stop the expansion of slavery to the West. The Southern aristocracy panicked and left the Union. They said, we are not Americans, we are from the South, so we're starting our own country. And then they proceeded to launch numerous terrorist attacks against the Union, shooting at Fort Sumter, murdering 200 people in Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay, now, Chris, great points, I want to give them a chance to return.
And you are tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is the Urban Connection Show. Your host, Donna Wolf, and myself, Ebony Johnson, are live in studio with our guest today, who you just heard as the teacher on that YouTube video. His name is David Muhammad. He is a teacher with the Shawnee Mission School District, and he's live in studio to talk to us about this Confederate flag debate at the Shawnee Mission East School that has recently gone viral. And he's the infamous teacher in the video clip, and I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of weeks back. We'll talk about when and where a little later in the show in regards to that as well. But welcome, David, to KKFI and Urban Connection show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And Miss Donna is...
Hi.
I wanted to submit to everyone here, Ms. Donna, say hi. So talk to us about the classroom experience right now. And we're going to air a couple more clips of that debate. And for our listeners, if you want to, if you have not taken a look, you can YouTube SME Confederate flag debate, and that will pull up. But talk to us about how you got to this conversation with your students, and is this the way you approach teaching now?
Yeah, first it should be known that this wasn't just my class. It was a during a seminar period, which is like a study hall for the entire school. So the school's journalism team wanted to try to find a way to have discussions over issues that were happening. Mm-hmm. And so they came to me because I do kind of have a rep of in my classes facilitating a lot of debate. I was already doing a lot of discussion. I'm a social studies teacher. I think a lot of social studies teachers do that. But for me, it's something I do a lot. I do a lot of current events. And so the students who came to me wanted me to find a way that we could get more people involved. Mm-hmm. And so we opened it up during seminar period and said, okay, anybody can come. And probably over 100 kids were like crammed into my room.
Yeah, I was looking for our audience, if when you see it, it's people are kind of out of the door and
they were
sitting
all
down
in the hallways.
And everything. And I was thinking, well, what kind of class is this?
Yeah.
But
it's not
the explanation.
Yeah, it's not my traditional class. Usually I have about 30 or so. So we definitely packed in there. But I wanted to find a way that I could step back and allow the kids to speak. Because what happens often is that in these discussions, either you have very one-sided opinion, mm-hmm. or kids are afraid to give their piece because they feel like they're going to be yelled at or judged in a certain way. So I wanted to give them a chance to just air it out and not really call it a debate, but a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a lot of spaces. I mean, for kids, it's you got your curriculum, you have your classes you have to take, and there's not a lot of time in the day to talk about things that are happening at the moment and how they feel. So I wanted to try to help create that space, and that's what we did. And this was the first of several discussions that we've had since that point. So
David, they knew the subject beforehand? They knew it was a debate about Confederate flag?
Yeah. So the journalism team did a good job of, like, on their social media and stuff saying, okay, this is what we're going to discuss on this day. Come ready to talk about it. So kids did their research. Mm-hmm. You know, kids were looking up statistics and facts, and you heard Mr. Justice on there, who is really responsible for it going viral, because there's a certain clip that I'm sure you're going to play. He did his due diligence with the content, and so I think that made it that much better, because they didn't just come in emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, they came in with fact-based claims, and it made it that much more meaningful.
I think for those of us who haven't had the listeners who haven't had a visual on this, I think the racial makeup of this group is important.
Yes, ma'am.
You're a person of melanated descent. Mm-hmm. Most of the kids in there seem to be white.
Yeah, my school is 86% white on record. Last year we had 34 black students in the entire school out of 1,800.
Okay.
And I knew every single one of them. and Latino, Hispanic, those who identify, maybe 100 or so. But you also have students who are like 15-25% Latino, but they look white, so they don't identify as Latino.
Mm-hmm.
We're very much, and we're in Prairie Village, Kansas. We get students from Mission Hills. Mm-hmm. So it's a very white, fairly affluent area. I definitely stand out. I'm Muslim. Mm-hmm. I'm African American.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was definitely it was odd, because I could tell I was the one that stood out in the room.
And I also wanted to call out the images you have on the wall. Is that your classroom?
That's my classroom.
Because I see John Coltrane. I see Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah,
all these people of color represented there in that room.
Yeah, it's my space.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
And I got a rep.
So
you know,
it.
You know. I mean, that's what I feel. You know, for me, like, these kids have seen.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to just shut my laptop because I keep starting.
No problem. You know, you see, like, in these spaces for these kids, they've only seen one image their whole life, and it's usually white males in positions of power. Mm-hmm. You know, I even told myself last year, I got to get some more females on the wall as well, because they don't get that. And I'm not going to hide who I am. Like, the student, yeah. I'm not coming in there like in dashikis every single day talking about Wakanda forever. I do it every now and then.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you got to. But they need to see it.
Yeah.
They need to see it. They need to feel the difference and understand that it's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to, like, wash out them.
Right.
I'm just trying to put out what represents me. So for them and their houses, maybe they have a picture of Abraham Lincoln or something.
Right.
He's not as significant to me as Malcolm X,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I try to represent for myself. Yeah.
You, David, you've been teaching for about 10 years
yes.
now, and you also went to school in the Shawnee Mission mm-hmm. District as well, and have come full circle to to be a teacher in the school district. How has what we see in this video, and I know this isn't, like you said, that as far as the format and it, would you call it the type of class it is?
It's a seminar. Yes.
So this is a seminar that the video is about. But when you started out 10 years ago, how is the school experience different now for you as a teacher than it was when you first started?
I think I'm much more comfortable making people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first start out teaching, you have to find your space. You have to find your voice, because it can be a little bit scary. You're so focused on the perfect lesson plans and meeting all the objectives and curriculum that mm-hmm. sometimes you push aside the personal importance, the connections. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, for me, really, and some people might not agree with me, but the curriculum is secondary.
Mm.
You know, like, these kids are only going to remember so much content.
Mm-hmm.
In some kids, for them, it won't ever be relevant. The type of fields of work they might go into, it just really won't be that relevant to them. Mm-hmm. But I can affect the person. And whether the kid was for the Confederate flag or not, or other discussions where they might not necessarily agree with me, the ability to have a rational conversation, fact-based, and listen to the other side and walk away civilly is extremely important right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that to be much more important. So I put more weight on that than, oh gosh, I got to get to this point in history or else I didn't meet my curriculum. You know what? They're not really watching that close. You know, like mm-hmm. the state isn't coming in saying, well, you didn't get to this point in history, so you're failing as a teacher. But we can see the effects of our society when you have kids who don't know how to be civil and they turn into adults who don't know how to be civil and don't understand fact-based claims. You know, so when they grow up without those things missing, who do we blame? Oh, these teachers aren't teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I find it to be extremely important to try to teach the whole child, to teach the mm-hmm. whole person, and the curriculum, it'll get there. We'll get there with curriculum, you know.
Yeah.
So David, you're a rare breed, a black man
yes,
teacher.
Ma'am.
And you also mentioned that you were a student yourself in the Shawnee Mission
mm-hmm.
School District. Can you tell us about your experience as a student?
Yeah.
When
I was a student, Shawnee Mission South, shout out to Shawnee Mission South, Raiders, I was definitely one of the what I call fence straddlers. I mean, we had probably 30, 40 black students in the whole school. I come from a household. Both of my parents are in the home. I ended up being the first to go to college, but they were both very much prominent.
Educated.
Yeah, educated mm-hmm. and in my life. Community leaders to this day, my parents, you know, so a lot of respect for them. But still, I was impacted by the stereotypes that blacks had to try to live up to. So when I got a chance to finally be around other black students, sometimes I was trying to fit in so much with, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to just focus on basketball or I'm going to just talk to girls and not really be academic. And
mm-hmm.
then other days I really wanted to be academic and I was able to, I played the violin and, but then I was like not excelling in it like I could have. So I was really always trying to find myself. I think that's something that a lot of black students in the suburbs face is like, I'm too white for the black kids and I'm too black for the white kids and I want to push academia, but I don't know what that looks like because I don't see anybody who looks like me being great like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the attention goes to the athletes. So if I was a really good basketball player, good football player, then I'd get all the girls, you know, and like there's all this kind
yeah.
of stuff that's
yeah.
picking at
stressful.
You. It's very stressful. But when you're 15, 16, you don't know how to recognize that, you know. And so it wasn't until I went off to college that I was like, you know what? This is who I am.
Right.
Like, I know who I am. This is who I'm going to be. I'm paying for this now. I'm going to take it seriously. But I'm blessed that I didn't mess up so bad that it was too late, you know. And But overall, my high school experience was good. I was blessed to go to a school district that was really highly academic. And I realized the level of my education once I went off to school, that I had gotten a really good foundation. I mean, my parents sent me to space camp, and I was going up to Johnson County Community College, taking little classes in the summer. So that stuff all affected me, as well as being around white students who knew they were going to college and knew they had to take honors classes. And that, I think that rubs off on you in a lot of ways. So I'm very appreciative of my experience. But now I can see as a teacher that black kid going through it. I'm like, I recognize what he's going through or she's going through. So I try to speak to that. Like, hey, you can be in honors classes too.
Yeah.
You should be. Push yourself. You know, you don't have to be this. And it's a little bit frustrating at times, but I have to recognize that I was the same way. So
yeah. We have another clip that I want to play. It's the debate itself, you know, to our audience, is worthy of a, you know, just listening to the dis. I was debating on which clips to play. So I hope I get to the one you want to as well. But we'll play another clip here, and then we'll come back and add more to the conversation. Okay. And again, this is the Shawnee Mission East. It's labeled SMB. SME Confederate flag debate, which is Shawnee Mission East school debate, and we're here with the teacher of that debate, David Muhammad, in that seminar classroom setting. So we'll listen to this and then we'll come back.
Okay, so I want to ask a specific question. Can I ask a specific question?
Yeah.
Because we have obviously a lot of you in here who support the Confederate flag. In what way, on a personal level, do you feel tied to Southern heritage and what the Confederate flag represents?
I do not feel
I don't feel tied to it at all.
So why do you fly the flag?
Yeah. Because it's a symbol of you can't push me anymore.
Okay.
Let me say something real quick.
I have a question for Mr. Let me come back to you. I have a wife from the South. My wife is from Memphis, where she sees the Confederate flag on a regular basis. And her question, when I told her about this conversation, she was like, but they live in Kansas. And if they're going to take...
Yeah, the South...
No, let me finish, Chris. My turn. I want to talk.
Respect the argument.
I want to talk. So...
Hey, quiet.
Her argument... Killing me, son. We're good. All right. So, her argument was that if they're going to take Southern heritage, they got to take all of Southern heritage. You can't just represent one part of Southern heritage and say, well, this part over here, I don't represent that. Right? Just like we're saying, we have to represent the entire of the American flag and what it's representing now and what it's evolved to represent. So, what has the Confederate flag evolved to represent now that is so relevant to your somewhat privileged Prairie Village life?
I mean, I have never, like, supported, like, the Confederate flag. I don't own one. I don't fly one. I'm supporting the right to do it.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yes, sir.
I think that this conversation has turned into whether or not you can fly the flag as to why people do fly the flag. And I think under the First Amendment, like, pretty much your right, whether it be good or not, that you can fly the flag.
Yeah.
And to argue against whether why people fly the flag, that's kind of their belief. I think, like, debating about it is never going to change the way they feel, because obviously it's a minority opinion among most Americans, and they feel back, you know, I think they feel backed in the corner, and whether or not, like, aggressively argue that they're wrong isn't going to change their opinion. And I think that this debate has shown how heated it gets, and that it's a controversial opinion in the United States, and I don't think that's going to change for a while. I think it just takes time.
Yeah. And he makes a good point, because whether we like it or disagree or not, you do have a right to fly that flag. And you do have a right to wear the flag. You can even wear it at East. The administration and the district has said that you have a right to fly the flag and wear the flag as long as it doesn't disrupt whatever is going on. Okay, so... Yes, sir.
I have a question for Ms. Holloway.
I wanted to speak there about the district's decision to say, you know, you have a right to wear this flag as long as it doesn't disrupt. And we have, Donna and I attended last week a talk with Professor Kevin Wilmot of, mm-hmm. of KU,
yeah.
who teaches film. Yeah. And with KU, and he deliberately wears a bulletproof vest because he wants the policy of students, of it being open carry, to be visibly seen and not kind of hidden. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the school's policy to say, okay, this is something that you can do, and whether you agree with it or not, as long as it doesn't cause a disruption. But that could be, what do you mean by a disruption?
Absolutely.
You know? So can you speak a little bit more there on school policies and your stance as a teacher and kind of balancing that with students in this whole debate and, you know, the heatedness of...
Yeah, I mean, I think school policies are no different than government policies, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can pass a policy, but do you recognize the emotional impact that it's going to have on people?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so as a teacher, we're in the trenches, right? So, like, they pass these policies. We have to... I can't say no to the policy. I mean, I can, but it's slippery slope. So, but I have to deal with the outcome of that. You know, if I have a student in my classroom who's Jewish or Black or Latino, and then a student walks in wearing a shirt with a Confederate flag, now I have to deal with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's twofold, right? Like, on one hand, I have to recognize the right of that kid to wear it, even though it's inflammatory. But I also have to recognize the right for that kid to be emotionally bothered by it. And sometimes we don't look at both sides of it. Like, yes, you do have a right, but I have a right to be mad about it.
Yeah.
And I have a right to voice my opinion to you because you knew what you were doing when you put it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the issue, is that we either want people to just accept that I have the right and then lay down and that's what it is. No, mm-hmm. You have the right, but I have the right to voice my opinion. And I think that that's where, as schools, that's where I try to step in and provide that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can't go against the district, and I'm not going to go against my school's policies, but I'm going to for sure let the voice of the people who are bothered by it be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have that right. And so that's what I try to do with these discussions. That's what I try to do with my class, is give everybody a chance to speak, because it's only right. And when we don't let emotions come out organically in a healthy way, then they stir up inside and we get outcomes later that are unhealthy.
Yeah.
So you have to create these spaces for kids and for people, period. I think mm-hmm. adults as well are looking for these spaces where it's like, I have this energy, I have this emotion, and I can't get it out. And mm-hmm. and then we're frustrated and we pop off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we didn't have a space where we could go get it out. So.
Yeah. So I wonder how supportive Shawnee Mission School District would be if a Black kid wore a Black Lives Matter t-shirt or a Panther t-shirt. Has that been tested?
Yeah, I mean, I've worn a Black Lives Matter shirt and stuff. The district hasn't really spoken out against it, but you get pushback from the white students, possibly their parents occasionally. I can say that the principal that I had in the building for the past few years, he just stepped out, has been super supportive of me and students for things that we've done. But you do get some pushback. You might remember when there was the whole safety pin issue where teachers were wearing safety pins to show that they were an ally. You know, during the after Trump got elected.
Yes.
And our district said that you couldn't wear it. Our district stepped up and said teachers couldn't wear it.
Wow.
You know, and that was problematic to me and other teachers. And some of us decided to wear it regardless. And the ACLU has stepped in. And so I won't speak on all of that. But, you know, I think in these moments, we have to be ready to hear both sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm a strong believer that the school is the place where we grow and we harvest a variety of platforms of ideas. It's the best place for liberal thought. And when I mean by liberal thought, I mean free thought. I'm not saying liberal versus conservative. Where else do you have a time in your life where you can, you know, attempt to morph through all these discussions and have somebody there to help you weave it through regardless of what side they're on? Because once you get out into the quote real world, now it has a lot more consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Allow people to mess up. Allow people to see how their debate stands up. See how their opinions hold water, you know, and give them that chance. Because once they leave high school or college, now the world will it will smack you for that view. You might lose your job for that view. So school is the place where we should allow that to happen. And I just want to try to be a steward of that. And as long as I can, I'm going to push the envelope until they push me out. So,
what would you say the percentage of students in the discussion actually supported the Confederate flag?
If you look at the video, you'll notice that most of the males in the room were supporters or silent supporters. Besides a few,
because body language said a lot in that video,
and I know the kids too, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know who you're here for. You're here supporting this, so they're either supporters or silent supporters. A lot of the white males at the school who were in the discussion, and in the room, the females were mostly anti-Confederate flag. There was a few guys who spoke out, like Chris Justice, but in the school itself, I think it's a lot smaller percentage of conservative-minded views compared to liberal. It's just that the conservative views are louder, and they come from the kids who are a little bit more affluent and a little bit more prestige and voice in the school. They have a little bit more higher reputation, so their words have a lot more weight, and it intimidates some people to speak out against. So
just like in the real world.
Just like in the real world. You know, like I think that that's what we see. And my school is a microcosm of that big time. Because you have kids who they're good kids, but they've been influenced by their environments and they don't even realize their privilege, or they do. And they don't. And because they know they got privilege, they don't want to lose it. They don't want anything to rattle that. And by 15, 16, it's been ingrained in them that you cannot tread on me. This is my right, you know. And
which that was one of the student who talked about who mainly kind of spoke out in support of being able to. And he said he does, you know, display that flag or whatnot.
Oh yeah, he
the
did.
Confederate. And he said for him, it's just a symbol of you can only push me so far.
Right.
I'm not going to let you push me so far. And obviously, you know, there was back and forth debate about that. And people even brought up, well, the American flag. You know, people can say we shouldn't have the American flag because there are heavy issues with even what that symbolizes. So it was interesting to see the conversation and to see, to your point, the influence of the parents, where you could really tell. Like we all do, you know,
this
is what my mother said, this is what my dad said, or this is, you know, just kind of how.
This is the news station that we listen to every day, so this is what I hear.
Right. We're going to take a station break right now, and then we'll be back. We are talking with Shawnee Mission District school teacher David Muhammad, and we are talking about the Shawnee Mission East Confederate flag debate that's recently gone viral on YouTube. You are tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community. Need to take a breath. Radio. This is the Urban Connection Show with your host Donna Wolf and myself Ebony Johnson. We will be back after these messages. is Fela Kuti, who know no go. Right? You're here on the Urban Connection show with Donna Wolf, your host Donna Wolf, and myself, Ebony Johnson. We are live in studio with Shawnee Mission District School teacher David Muhammad, who teaches social studies at Shawnee Mission East. And we are discussing and playing clips from the classroom debate from a seminar type class that recently went viral regarding the Confederate flag. And David is here talking to us about the teaching experience and this particular debate as well. I want to talk with you as well, David, about what it means to you to actually be a teacher now. You talked about the curriculum and things of that nature being secondary and wanting to address the whole person. And I can only imagine that your upbringing, but also the climate and the times that we're in now, has kind of, to me, caused at least raising a lot of questions of what does it really mean to be a teacher, to be a student, to go to school and have that classroom experience. Looking at David has a hat on that says Challenge Truth for our listening audience. And I want to know just from you what teaching means to you, particularly now.
Yeah. For me, it's a sense of urgency. There's a weight that I wake up with a lot of days, and I have to say that a lot of that was inspired by the past year or so with the election. It's like code red. I feel like this, I have to like not save these children, but I gotta reach them. I gotta reach them because I see so many things happening in society that they're affected by, not even just from a political standpoint, but you got a generation of kids who go to drugs and things of that nature. Is there counseling? Is there therapy? You know, alcoholism, suicide rates have increased. Levels of depression and anxiety in kids have superseded way beyond where I was when I first started teaching. So I see this unhealthy climate, as well as my students of color who I want to see strive for excellence in an era where they're being told not to or that they don't belong. My Latino students, some of which were undocumented, who feel a sense of urgency and pressure. So all of that, when I get out of the bed in the morning, I feel this weight. And it's like sometimes, man, I don't care about the lesson plan. Let's talk about you. Let's help you out. Let's get you right. You know, what do I need to do to get you right? You got your scholarships in order? Do you need do you have access to whatever help you need? Do you need some time to just talk to me? And if not me, can we get you somebody else? And I feel that every single day, and it's sometimes can be very exhausting. It can be very exhausting because you're doing more than what your job title entails and what you're getting paid to do. But when you can see that you might be the only person that talked to that kid about what's real, then you recognize that you have to do it. And maybe not every teacher feels that way, and I don't feel they have to, but this is how I feel. You know, and part of it could be impacted by my upbringing. You know, my father's a karate teacher, and he was always he always has been very community minded. And he's an imam at the Islamic Center around the corner on 36 and Truce. And then my mother is, you know, big into the community, too. So that always puts something in me that it takes a village, right? The village mentality, and that when you meet somebody and you work with that person, you have a responsibility to do what you can to help them and hope that they would do the same for you. So it's more than just about that's the student, I'm the teacher. It's like we in life together now. We're connected for whatever reason, and I feel that responsibility from day one.
Yeah. There's also just with the increase in technology in the last 10, 20 plus, you know, just there are certain things that can be challenged right on the spot.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? In a way that we weren't able to years past. And so the whole knowledge of just downloading information to someone is really hard to try and do.
But what you also see with the technology, man, for me, it's been this, kids are zoned out because they're like, they never tap out of whatever it is that stimulates them. You know, so they're always on social media or watching something, they never plug out and just be. Mm-hmm. They don't even know how that works. So mm-hmm. then, everybody has ADD now. Mm-hmm. You know, not to discredit people who have that. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying that the rates go up, mm-hmm. and then we slap that on a kid faster, saying, "Well, he doesn't concentrate, so he must have ADD, mm-hmm. and let's give him these pills."
Yeah.
And you know, like, no,
the cycle begins.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? It's like, turn it off and let's have a real conversation.
Right.
That's engaging. Let him go run outside for a little bit. Nope, mm-hmm. PE class got cut. Mm-hmm. 15 minutes more than, you know, less than it used to be. You know, so like, these things that would used to naturally stimulate deep discussion, physical exercise, those things have been cut. And it's, here's this laptop, because in our school district, everybody gets a laptop, mm-hmm. right? Place this in front of you, put all the work on there, they'll get it done. You know, okay, so he might get the grade, but like, what about him?
Right.
Can he function in the world when I'm iMessaging the person next to me, mm-hmm. but I won't turn and talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
It's unhealthy.
It's disconnect. Absolutely. Human disconnect.
They'll make fun of each other on Twitter or on Instagram, cyberbully, and then walk by the person in the hallway and like nothing even happened. Hmm. Won't even have a fist fight. Not saying I'm condoning that, but there's something raw to be said about, hey, you can't say that about me. I'm going to talk to you about it right here. No. So they walk by each other, don't even acknowledge it, and then go back and talk about each other again on the computers. Kind of a society is that? It's unhealthy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's wrong.
You know? So
we do have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, hello? Okay, I think they... Uh-oh. Maybe they didn't realize or just wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is okay.
Yeah.
That you have your right, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if that was your expression. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to ask David a couple of things. First of all, you talked about these kids of color,
mm-hmm.
Being told that they don't, they're not to succeed, or being told that they don't belong. How are they being told that they don't belong?
It's through microaggressions. You know, I mean, kids get tapped early for gifted classes and get tapped
or
early.
Not.
Or not, exactly, mm-hmm. right? Why aren't we actively going after these kids and saying, you know, pushing them to be in these AP courses?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm an administrator and I look at, okay, I'll give you statistics in my school. You got 1,800 kids, right? So then the D's and F's list comes out. Of all the kids who had D's and F's. Now, last year we had 1.6% of the population was African American. They made up for 7.7% of the D's and F's. Now, of that 7.7%, probably 80 to 90% was our black males. Now, you see these statistics, you have all these numbers. What are you doing to, like, to zone in on that group? Well, we can't zone in because then Sally over here will say that, why aren't you doing it for my child? No, we have to hyper focus on those who need it. And if you're not, then that means you don't care.
The other thing is those D's and F's probably just didn't show up in high school. I'm sure
it's
that you saw
problematic
this from grades.
Absolutely.
You didn't deal with it then.
Absolutely. You should be targeting the students who need the work the most and the help the most. And I don't care who they are, but you see this gaping hole, this issue. So you must, if you're, in my opinion, if you're not a loud objector, you're a silent supporter. What are you doing? And those kids know. The teacher's not coming to me and saying, you know, something's a problem, so they must not care. The principal hasn't come and said anything. All they do is say something when I've failed out, when I'm about to drop out, I'm not going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whereas in our school, if you're a transfer student from another school, once you hit D's and F's, they move you out of the school. You got to go back to your same school that you live in. So, like, maybe I live in the Shine Mission South area, but I want to go to Shine Mission East. If I get D's and F's, they're going to move me back to Shine Mission South. So that's mm-hmm. the only time I hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to show these kids attention from day one, the same kind of attention that those kids who have affluence are able to get just from their family lifestyle. That kid doesn't need the principal coming to see him because his parents pay for tutors.
Mm-hmm.
He's been getting that since he's been in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on a fast track. You know, you look at his MAP scores and all that. Okay, he's on that path. Okay, but what about those kids in between? You know, and then as well as society tells our kids, like, other than the Huxtables, which that show's not on anymore for most of these kids, and other than A Different World, which that show's not on for most of these kids, where do they see images of, like, excellence that look like them?
Mm-hmm.
That say it's okay to be the nerd. It's okay to be, you can be a basketball player and a scientist. You can be, you should take honors courses. All they see is rappers and athletes, and then they see dead bodies on the news.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see anything else, you know. And to this day, I mean, yeah, we had President Obama, but that's so far-fetched for a lot of them. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be President of the United States. Sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. So we still have a society where we just now have Black Panther. Right. And people got upset with us being excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a superhero film. So I think that, you know, you look at the society. I'm one of a few Black male teachers in this community. Mm-hmm. You know, so they don't see images that look like them that are striving for something beyond the norm. Mm-hmm. So they don't know how that feels. They don't know if they even fit in that space. You know, it's tough. It's a lot of pressure. And I know from experience from growing up in that district, too, when you're in those classrooms where now, okay, it's a higher level course, the looks, the energy, the vibe that you feel, a lot of the teachers who are white don't know how to deal with you in their space. Mm-hmm. So they're not trained on that energy.
Even though you're just sitting there.
You're just existing.
Yeah.
Right? But there are some of them might have stereotypes in the back of their mind and they try to fight it off. They good intention. But you know, they already assume you're more problematic and more quick to be argumentative. So the first time you show a little bit of ruffling, mm-hmm. they're quick to stomp down on you. Mm-hmm. And we police these Black and Latino students and students of color. And it prepares them for the prison pipeline. I mean, the way they suspend them quick, you know, it's almost like you locking them up quick. Mm-hmm. You know, our kids loud in the hallway, y'all too loud. Their kids is being loud too.
Right.
They're not even arguing. They're just talking loud. They're just having fun. You know, so it's like you're not used to seeing them in this space. I don't know how to deal with these kids in this space, so I have to police it. That's the only thing they know how to do. And the kids know that, so they feel I don't belong. Right. So they either lash out or they get quiet and become a fly on the wall. They don't excel, though. They don't excel. Now, you have every now and then a kid who pushes through because they got parents really driving it through. You know, we just had a young lady win the Princeton Prize, lady of color. You know, but that's a rare breed. You know, most of them is just trying to, like, I'm just trying to survive. Don't want to just cause any disruptions because I'm going to get in trouble.
David, I want to, we'll maybe come back at the end and play the final clip here at the end of the show, but I want to transition to what the work you do with Youth Ambassadors.
Yes, ma'am.
Because specifically of what you were just talking about, and having that space for, you know, talking to the kids as a whole. Mm-hmm. And what I want to do now is play actually Antonio Hoskins, who is a Youth Ambassador student who you are familiar with and work with in that program. Mm-hmm. He was here at the station and recorded an episode of Fun Fast Facts Laws. And so I want to play that and then allow you to talk about Youth Ambassadors and what the work that you do there. And we'll come back to the debate at the end.
Sounds great.
All right. Give us one moment here.
Hello, Kansas City. This is Antonio Hoskins, a student with Youth Ambassadors, a Kansas City-based program. This is Real Law, the podcast where I examine and explain actual laws that affect you, residents of Kansas City. Today's fun fast facts are a few Missouri laws that still haven't been changed after a pretty lengthy tenure. Did you know that in Missouri, it is illegal to drive with an uncaged bear in your car? You can also be charged with possession of alcohol if you are under 21 and are caught emptying trash that has even a single empty alcohol container. In Kansas City, the installation of clawed bathtubs is in fact against the law. For all you antique collectors, be careful. That pristine piece of your collection might be against the law. In some places in Kansas City, it is legal for a minor to buy a shotgun, but not a toy cap gun. It is illegal to inhale smoke from your pipe through your ear. I don't even know how that one would work. Those were all fun, fast facts that could actually land you in a little bit of trouble. Why anyone would drive with an uncaged bear in the first place, your guess is as good as mine. Thinking about it, though, that meant each of those were a real problem at one point in time. I guess too many people forgot to cage their pet bears. Now, onto a more serious law. In Kansas City, last year, a change to KC's pot possession law has lessened the punishment for minor drug possession offenses, according to www.crozierlaw.net and www.okclaw.com. If you are caught with less than 35 grams of marijuana, then you face a maximum of a $25 fine and no jail time. This does not make pot legal at all. You are still being charged with a Class A misdemeanor, which normally carries with it either a $1,000 or $2,000 fine and up to 7 years of jail time. Kansas City had previously capped the fine at $500, but this change to the law makes minor drug possession sentences much lighter. This change also takes out the possibility of jail time. But this is not quite as earth-shaking as many may think. These changes only take effect for those charged by the Kansas City PD, and even though you may not go to city courts, Jackson, Clay, and Platte County courts still don't use the new law. Most importantly, though, being charged with even this level of possession is still a drug crime, which could cause a lot of different problems. Jobs, scholarships, and many other opportunities could be lost because you have a drug crime on your record. With fun facts and serious laws, this has been Real Law with your host, Antonio Hoskins, youth ambassador and law enthusiast.
All right. Can you tell us what is Youth Ambassadors and the work in your role that you do there?
First, I'm smiling because I know that kid. He's awesome. But Youth Ambassadors is a nonprofit that was started by Paige O'Connor and Tiffany Lynch about 10 years ago now. It's a program that focuses on primarily inner city youth, at-risk youth. In the summer, they have a program where they pay the students minimum wage to come every day. It's a job, and they take classes that better themselves, health, writing, art therapy, and life skills. So it's again, it's meeting the whole child. And they have Saturday programs throughout the year where they do the same things, and they provide opportunities for the kids to better themselves outside of the classroom. And so for the past 2 years, I've been teaching a life skills class in the summers, and it's just been a phenomenal experience. It's really probably kept me in the profession of teaching, to be honest, because it's reinvigorated my spirit as far as why I got into the profession. I mean, you're dealing with some kids who come from some very drastic, dire backgrounds. I mean, some of the stories you hear about these kids, but you recognize they're a kid and they just need somebody to talk to them about real things. And it's the gloves are off. We can talk to them as candid as we want. It's very raw. And because of that, we're able to really, I feel like, invoke a lot of change, and they have a huge impact on us. So great program. I'm on the board now, and I plan to be involved for many years to come.
Yeah. Donnie, you had a couple.
Yeah. I wanted to hear your thoughts on white privilege, how it is expressed and manifests itself in your Shawnee Mission School District and that Prairie Village community, and if the people who benefit from it are aware of it. And
you do bring it up in the debate. You say you're somewhat privileged. You kind of, you put it in there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. 3-4 years ago, if I would have said white privilege, it would have been a lot of fighting against it. Like, how dare you say that? Because it was like, it was a diss to them if you said they had white privilege. Now, it's different. I feel like that white privilege, at least where I'm at, has evolved into more elitism. So they know they have the privilege. They know they have a higher station in society. So it's more so, how dare you challenge that? The ones who are upset by it. On the other end, I've seen some students who have been very open about the fact that they recognize they have white privilege and they want to work to use it in a positive way. Because if you look at it, many of us have forms of privilege. Mm-hmm. You have privilege being a male in this society. Let's keep it real, right? There's elements of place where a person can say, I have black privilege. Okay, if we're playing a pickup game of basketball and somebody's just looking at us, they might say, well, he's black, he might be better. Okay, you can call that black privilege if you want to. Whatever you want to say, you know? So we could play that game. But as far as at East, what it looks like, it's access to resources and a misunderstanding of why they have a higher station in life. They don't recognize that it's not always because of hard work. You didn't get this because it's fair. You didn't get this opportunity and where you are in life because it was the right thing. Some of it just happened because your granddaddy or your granddaddy's granddaddy did some stuff, and that wealth has went on generation after generation. Not to say your mom or your dad don't work hard, and it doesn't mean you're not a good person, but recognize that there are people that didn't have that leg up, and for them, a lot of them, that challenges them because they want to believe that I got here because I worked harder. And so then where that turns into is they get up. You have some of them who get upset when they hear about things like, you know, affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll give these one-off examples of, you know, this case where this black guy got into the school over this kid and it's not fair. Okay, you named one. You named one reason, right? Like, and even with that, why was this law put in place in the first place? Because if we look at generationally, you know, and so you have to break it down like that for them and make it very plain for them to realize, you know, that one situation is not going to shift the tides of all of society, you know. And so then they'll bring up, well, in 2050, you know, minorities are supposed to outweigh, you know. Okay, that's as if we're going to assume that blacks, Latinos, Asian are going to all unite together and work together to take down, you know, the system. Not going to happen, right? So, you know, for me, it's been challenging that complex they have where they have, a lot of them have good intentions. They just can't see past what they want to assume has been based on their hard work. And they're, a lot of them are hard workers, but you got a leg up, buddy. And they have to see that. Yeah.
Let's play this final clip here, and then we'll come back and close up and, you know, and just talk a little bit more. You're tuned to the Urban Connection show here on 90.1 FM, and we are talking with Professor Art. Teacher, maybe soon. I mean, that kind of just came out there.
No.
But David Muhammad, who is a social studies teacher with the Shawnee Mission School District, specifically teaching at Shawnee Mission East. And this is the final clip we'll play from the Shawnee Mission East Confederate flag debate that is on YouTube.
Just like a small part of the South with the racism, it goes so beyond that to like... It's just, no, it's like when they were burning American flags, it just felt unfair. Like, should we just take away the American flag? Because slavery has flown under the American flag. I mean, some bad stuff has flown under the American flag, but it's a bad part of our history. But that doesn't mean we just get rid of the American flag. I mean, like, I'd say the flag is poorly misrepresented by, like, people who, like, fly it for controversy and hatred. Like, the Klan, like, they totally misrepresent the flag itself, but honestly, it doesn't represent the whole flag, because that's a small part of our history.
Jordan?
I was just gonna say that I don't know if you guys really think, like, whoever wants to fly it or whatever, I don't know if you guys are thinking about, like, the repercussions that you're gonna have to face. I would strongly advise any of you who want to fly the flag to go to West, to go to North and fly the flag and see what happens.
Yeah.
like.
All right. Okay. So.
I think she might be trying to say that, like, the environment that we're in is like not. You guys are thinking that it's okay right now because of the environment that we live in Prairie Village and in Shawnee Mission East. And I think that it just kind of shows how uneducated and not diverse the school is, and that the world isn't really like that. So if you're going to places that showcase what the world is really like, you're not going to have you're not going to have as much support. So be aware.
I think that obviously a lot of people have expressed their opinions over this debate, and I think that if anything, the most important part of this takeaway that everyone should take away from this debate is that education is extremely important, especially with controversial topics. And as long as everyone in the room is educated and knows why the other person feels that way, whether or not they take your opinion is irrelevant, because unfortunately, whether you agree with it or not, it's their opinion. And this whole debate was about educating the other side, and I think clearly there's been some good points made. And I think we should all just take away, and it's whatever happens, happens. And it's their opinion, and that's all right. So,
okay, so I think with that being said, we could go on for hours. But I really appreciate, listen up. I appreciate that both sides were able to talk. And for the most part, rationally, we didn't get too crazy up in here. And we should do it again. So I think this is the kind of discussions that we should have at a school. This is an academic setting. About any topic, we need to bring it to the youth. We need to bring it to the peers and let you discuss it amongst yourselves instead of us teachers preaching to you. So, thank you very much.
Okay, and that was... that was the ending of the debate, the Shawnee Mission East Confederate flag debate with teacher David Muhammad, who is here live in studio with us, and we've been talking about this debate and teaching as well, and the platforms that we use and the way we do that, and the way you do that specifically. And I just want to thank you for coming and being a part of the show and sharing your voice. And if you have any last final words or contact information before we go.
Well, first, thank you for having me on. This has been an honor and a privilege. And you can find me on social media, Twitter at The Brother News, so BROTHANEWZ, and that's the same on Instagram. And so now I'm hosting weekly discussion topics.
Wow.
I post them on Twitter and try to get response, and then I use those at the end of the week to do a wrap-up. So I do a wrap-up, like a rap video that kind of like gives my opinion on those topics. So if you want to get involved, follow me on social media and we can keep this going. This is what we need.
I wanted to ask you before we go, David, why are you teaching high school and not elementary school, since you said all of this stuff that begins impact kids begins at that level? So
yeah,
why?
I think that the high school kids have the ability to discuss it on a higher level. Okay. And I enjoy having those high level conversations right before they go off into the world. So, you know, the elementary kids, they're pure and they're babies and you can really reach a lot of them. But high school is where they have the ability to really express themselves. And so I enjoy that.
Well, I'm glad you exist. And I think you're an inspiration and a symbol of hope made manifest.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Hope to see more young black men become teachers as a career.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. Please stay tuned for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson, and then later Roots Wise Reggae with Rockin' Donna. Thanks for listening.
My story, sad story now. Still waiting for the truth.